Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Divine, all blessed, you are now listening live to the Divine Prince, an African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African Hudu world spiritualist. understanding that all is indeed a blessing, if you can just see beyond the veil, for it's all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my personal ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my works, my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding. That place from where I begin, that place from where I realize and crystallize and materialize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Elasti Ashe. Today is Sunday, October 16, 2016. And I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potion, Hoodoo Central, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist who do obey a life path and journey, passing down that great Obeah stick, along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, ritual spirits, and minerals. I'm always honored, humbled by those who continue to join me here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, New Orleans Hoodoo, Voodoo, Secrets, and Recipes, here on Blog Talk Radio. www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. When you're ready with your question, comment, or request, when you are prepare to participate in the show, just press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be more than happy to open your line. I must remind you that I do not do readings, live readings on the show. In this space, we are here to study, to learn, to share, to educate, to share result-oriented information. Readings, divination, ritual request belongs to sacred space. So I ask that you would email me by way of my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. If you want to send me an email, email me at divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. All is truly and indeed a blessing. I am also available 24 hours a day on Keen, keen.com/divine-prince. And of course, I am available by appointment at earthodysseynola.com/readingswithdivineprince.html. That is in the historic French Quarter, 306 Charter Street, Charter Street, French Quarter, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70116. Please do call us to make your appointment at 504-581-1348. All is truly and indeed a blessing. I'm humbled always by the support and the participation that I have continued to receive for doing this broadcast. I am in my 8th year on Blog Talk Radio. Indeed, the topic today is not only relevant to me, who I am personally, but to who we are as a people. And they said that I would lose following. I would lose support if I told the truth, if I spoke from the hip, if I stuck to the facts and didn't get caught up in the rhetoric and the propaganda. And indeed, I am a living testimony to that truth. We must begin to actively move forward in what we say, what we prophesize, the propaganda that we push, the cute stuff that we say and meme up for social media. Social media is a new facet in world communication, unlike anything that's ever existed before. It brings a whole culture with it, a whole social context with it, a whole new power to the individual that did not exist before. The power to say, to do, to post, whatever you will, no matter how true, authentic, organic, no matter how foolish, unimportant, diabolical, whatever adjective you can come up with. Often the impetus for us doing the post is the follow, the attention. And I ran across a video yesterday on Facebook done by Bob Anu. I posted the video already, I think, three times. The person that I shared it from has posted it. And it's gotten very little attention. Now, for many of my regular listeners, this is not new. And you're not going to hear anything new today. You're going to hear it restated, reiterated, taken into a new context. And of course, I'm grateful for Bob Anu for doing this video, because sometimes, you know, you don't want to hear it from mama, daddy, from your parent. You want to hear it from someone else. And many of the things that I say, give thanks to the Most High, are regurgitated. People will often not give me credit, will not tag me, link me back to the source. But much of what I say that is true, that is real, that is organic, is energy. It's ashe, and ashe cannot be destroyed. It can only be recreated, redistributed, reproduced, regenerated, but truth lives on. And I'm amazed, not amazed, I'm interested by the lack of interest in what Bob Anu had to say in that video. Now, there are many reasons for it. And some of you all are just too lazy. You're not going to listen to a 40-minute, 30-minute video. I'm not sure exactly how long the video is. You're not going to pay attention to it. You're going to listen to it, but you're not going to pay attention to it. It's going to be in the background. Other noise is going on. Other activities. It's not going to be a part of your ongoing study. You're not going to follow up on what's being said, detail what's being said, research what's being said. Forgive me, y'all. I'm a little bit distracted because I'm losing time, and this should be a two-hour show. So let me put on a quick going on so that we don't lose airtime in the middle of this show of all shows. This is important to be said. You know, I don't know what's going on. I'm about to lose my live broadcast in 10 seconds. So I am going to keep talking. I'm going to go to the phone lines. We will go into archive. Everybody who's online now will be able to hear the rest of the show. I don't know what's going on. Blog Talk Radio always does something crazy. I don't know what's going on. This is supposed to be a two-hour show. So let me go to the phone line, area code 314. I have more than one 314, so I'm opening area code 314-766. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Brother Milton Moore Bay from St. Louis, Missouri. Greetings.
I'm so glad you're here, and I find it really ironic that when you finally make your schedule to be here, they're messing up my show. We're not even broadcasting live now. But I hope you looked at that video that I'm referencing about Bob.
You know, I didn't have a chance to look at. I was at work when you sent it to me, and I didn't have a chance to see it.
Please listen to that video. Listen to it twice. Everything that he said in that video is critical, and it's not popular. It's not trending. You know, it's not the fashionable thing to do as it relates to Black consciousness and revolutionary conversation. So in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, many people are either in denial of what's being said or just too lazy to pay attention. And he talked about everything from COINTEL and its effects. As it is historically, the 60s, the 70s, even going into the 80s, but that completely dropped off the radar going into the 90s, the new millennial, you know, and even into the present day. And so we often don't think about what has been done to taint the message, taint the revolution, taint Black consciousness, but also consciousness. He talks about Black consciousness being tainted with a almost terroristic tape-based theme that we often embrace because we see it as Black love, revolutionary love. But it's also playing into the 9/11 terrorism and all the acts that came out of that have now, you know, got into our telephone calls and our private lives and what we say or do. And he goes into detail about the RBG movement being tainted with this spirit and now being, you know, nearly tagged as a terrorist organization so that the government and white supremacists can now continue to kill and kill and kill at the street level, the police level, at the food level, at the medication level, at every turn, we're being attacked. So there's a mixture of water and wine going on. And the social media, how I open the show, plays a real big part in this. Because prior to the internet, we would have had to come together in a room, in a church, in a basement, in a community center, at your house, my house, and discuss these issues, debate these issues, share our opinion, share our concern, work with it like you would clay in a sculpture. But now, with the internet, everybody's a master teacher. Everybody's master at the search button. Because if you can master Google, Bing, you can make yourself look erudite. You can make yourself educated. You can make yourself look like you know culture, tradition, history, politics. And often, as Baba Nu mentions in the video, it's really about entertainment, popularity. Some people even say it masks this dating thing, particularly when we get into homosexual, gay agenda, homophobia. We even now have groups that are specific to heterosexual love. And often, going all the way back to the 60s and free love and all those movements, sex, lasciviousness, decadence was often used to paint the real message, the real purpose, the real meaning behind a movement or the revolution. Now, I'm going to allow you to speak freely. At this point, I don't know how much time we have if I'm going to lose my archive. So I do want to acknowledge these people whose hands are raised. Area code 949, your mic is now open. Who's calling and where are you calling from? 949, did you have a comment?
Yes.
Could you speak up? Your mic is open.
Hey.
Peace and blessings. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
This is Paul calling from California.
Oh, peace and blessings. I'm so glad you called. I've known Paul 30 years, and we've discussed many of these topics, really almost daily.
Yeah.
Brother Melton.
Okay.
Brother Rose might also be online. Let me open the next 314. Is this Brother Rose?
Oh, boy, yeah.
314.
Oh, boy, yeah, Baba.
I'm honored that everybody is online, particularly the gentlemen whose mics are open now. We've talked about, we've texted, we've chatted, we've shared research, we've shared documents about these very topics, these very issues. And many of us come from diverse backgrounds, diverse communities, diverse life experiences. And we meet together by way of social media. Paul, I've met personally. Brother Rose is initiating with me right now. Brother Milton is helping me to move forward in social media, many of these ideas that we share in common. And we must begin to address the real issues, the tough issues, the complicated issues, many of the issues that they keep alive in social media with the rhetoric and the memes and the propaganda that do keep the confusion going. Because ultimately, particularly if we're looking at white supremacy, and Baba New goes into detail about the newness of white supremacy. Many young people believe white supremacy goes back to the beginning, and it does not. And in terms of planetary history, it is a relatively new concept. It is not based in history, tradition, religion. Religion has utilized it and has been used to propagate it. Government, laws, policies, procedures. That's why the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Those forces that affect our ori, our consciousness, our head, how we view ourselves and each other. So we have to confront these issues head on to move forward. And just before I came on air today, me and Paul were talking about my opinion about what that solution is. And all of you know what I've said. Voodoo is really it. It's not just the religion, but it is the effects, the healing, the therapeutic results on consciousness, on spirit, how we think, how we feel, how we emote in this world. We cannot operate like machinery. And part of the system's plan was militarization. I'm old enough to remember us talking about that in the early 80s. Militarization goes hand in hand with birth to school to prison, industrial complex. Those two things go hand in hand. So if we can get you to give up on life, give up on a result, give up on a solution, you're almost automatically volunteering into that system. One of my elders taught, a man without a plan is always subject to someone else's plan. So if we can keep you from not even coming up with a plan, not even coming up with a solution. I have a friend at 54 who told me he didn't have a clue what he was going to do, didn't have a clue what his plan for life was. And for me, that's critical to what's happening at the community level. And please, feel free, any one of you, to jump in, because I don't know when they're going to cut off this show. But we have to begin to address these issues and address them head on. And right now, race, homophobia, classism, even politics are being used as a distraction to the truth. To us coming together, unifying, to us building a resolution that saves not only ourselves, but the world. We do not have to be headed towards total destruction. We do not have to be headed towards Third World War. In my opinion, we're already in Third World War. It's already moving. Our individual and collective actions determine the result, where we ultimately end up at the end of this road.
Teaks.
Please, somebody jump in. Are you all with me? I got three mics open.
Well,
somebody.
This is Paul. So, you know, when I started to look into how did they reconstruct what they used for the purpose of financially making this one of the top GPDs global? And so when you look at the reconstruction of slavery, one thing they never did is got rid of slavery. They just rewrote it. And so what we now have is what you call social insurance. And so many of us, I don't know how many of the brothers have seen on 60 Minutes where there was a black family, Sanders, out of Oklahoma, and the young lady got $20,000. But yet her mama, her daddy, her grandmama, and her grandfather all were on whole life insurance policies. And yet the family lived in squalor. And in the end, the white supremacists that run the social insurance through all of these different organizations today effectively got all of that money and was able to do it because the actual people who continue slavery is Congress. Congress, the black, your black congressman, your white congressman, every congressman at this day participates in the continuation of slavery. And it's
and let me
literally
jump in
being
quick.
Done.
I'm sorry, let me jump in on that, because I want to add to that, because that's one of the things that Bob Anu brings up in this video. And again, the video is on my Facebook page. I posted it 3 times in like the last 12 hours, so it should be pretty easy to find. But he talked about, I just drew a blank. What was that last thing you said?
How they continued through social insurance the act of slavery. And Congress is the one who makes the laws, who enforces, you know. That's right.
That's what I was going to say. Racism and white supremacy. We've now bought into the notion that blacks cannot be racist or support white supremacy, but we can't offer somebody a job or we don't have global resources, so to speak. And all those things are not true. And just as Paul just said, those black congressmen, white congressmen, mixed race congressmen, and I'm for DNA. You all have heard me say it more and more and more. I'm for DNA because we are giving over this sort of gift, if you will, of white supremacy to people who may not even be white at all. Who might have mixed race backgrounds. And so we're acting on quote-unquote faith when we assume what somebody is, what somebody isn't.
That's right.
What somebody's commitment is to consciousness and revolution based on what their skin might look like, based on what the hue of their color might be. You know, we could debate Rachel Dolezal. We can debate light skin versus dark skin. We can debate the whole, you know, field nigger, certain house nigga syndrome. Baba New even went into detail about something that I've said numerous times on this show. I always second guess the person who comes in blackface promoting revolution, black consciousness, the black community, who's too quick to call other black people coons and niggas. He talked about the new black face of white supremacy, the new black face of Nazism, much of the same language that we're getting right now from Donald Trump, we can find in black conscious circles, being spoken out of black mouths about other black people. He talked about COINTELPRO and the embedding of agents into black consciousness, particularly with the ease of social media. Many of these guys and gals don't have a face, don't have a picture. They got a red, black, and green, or a black cat face, or some cartoon. They have the least amount of personal photos. They have the least amount of friends on their list that are actually related to them, know them personally, like me and Paul know each other, like me and Brother Milton know each other, like me and Brother Rose know each other. So you often don't even know who these identities are. And I'm least likely to add comment to those people, you know, and they'll often bait you. Those are often the profiles that will bait you in social media, that'll come on your page and say something crazy, want to argue and debate, and then start throwing around names. So how do you know that that Facebook profile is not just a white hood? How do you know that Facebook profile is not a government agent infiltrating your secret
that's right.
You know, black revolutionary group. And it's getting you all to call yourselves out. They're trying to see who's the most radical, who's likely to say the most irresponsible thing, who's most likely to take the bait, who's most likely to go out and follow up on some of these most unbelievable posts, you know, that's being made in social media. And the reality is, the three of us know this for sure. The real work is often being done on the street. The revolution is not being televised. And,
yes,
and those
sir.
People
yes,
often
sir.
For salacious posts. And the salacious posts are often about followers, likes, and popularity. Not about real work.
Yep.
Now, the brothers and sisters who took water to Michigan, that's real work. The brothers and sisters who took water to Michigan, took photos and photographed themselves doing work, that's the real work. We got a brother, a father advocacy in New Orleans, Brian Cole, does the work. And you see him out there, you see him with the children, you see him out cleaning up the neighborhood, you see him out there holding peace rallies to stop the gang activity, to help the brothers that's coming out of the system of incarceration, to get housing, to get jobs, to get defense when they do come up against the justice system and the criminal processes that are put in place to keep us blocked and keep us down. That's where the real truth is. And often those posts, those actions, those leaders are not being sensationalized.
They go under the water. Right.
Yep.
They don't show those. Yeah. They don't show the action. Mm-hmm. They don't show the work, and it's not popularized. People want to talk, and they don't really want to get out and get dirty, you know. I believe people are just scared too, you know, of what the big bad wolf can do to them, what the government can do to them. But you know, I'm an advocate of standing with each other, and you know. And working hard and, you know, showing them that we're not scared, that we'll do what we need to, that, we'll fight for each other, you know, and, you know, coming together and pulling in our allies. The truth is we're going to need our allies, you know.
That's right.
We can't do this
and
thing
who,
alone.
Who,
based on
who are our allies, though?
Yeah.
Now, if I can answer that.
That's a good question.
That's a good question.
We are our own allies.
Yeah, we are our own allies. Those that stand with us.
That's right. I mean, literally and figuratively. For instance, the people right now who's listening to this, who didn't hang up when I had a technical difficulty, who stayed on into archive, who are now participating in the show, we are our own allies. And me and Paul have been talking about this for years. Why aren't people like us coming together and buying property, buying communities, building our own agency? Why aren't like-minded people coming together and say, listen, we're not going to wait on the big hero, the big leader, the big black organization. We're going to open our own store. We're going to start our own Ile, our own temple. We're going to promote voodoo and Ifa and African spiritual tradition from our own resources. Those are the people who build. That's how we get the Harriet Tubmans and the Nat Turners and the Dr. Kings and the Malcolm X's and all the other leaders who we carry their name forward. But when they were on the front lines, nobody wanted to talk their name. Nobody wanted to support them. Nobody wanted to make Dr. King a hero. They wanted to talk about his sex capades. They wanted to talk about his involvement with women. And we now know much of that was propaganda from COINTELPRO. After these leaders are dead, we always figure it out decades after they're gone. We always figure it out after their work has already been laid down, and then the next generation has to move it forward. So this constant process of having to relearn and rebuild with every generation is tedious. There are many online who are brand new, babies in this, at whatever age they are. They can be millennials, they can be 50. You know, there's 50-year-olds right now who just picking up their first black book or their first history book or their first book that has any real depth. And Baba New talks about that. We have too many overnight sensations, overnight social media heroes, overnight scholars who aren't doing the work that Brother Milton is, that Brother Rose is, that Brother Paul is, that I am, and we all have our specialty. Can nobody compete with Paul on DNA, history in America, and how that has played out, as he just tried to demonstrate at the financial level? He can tie that all the way back to slavery and how we, even today, are still being robbed out of what's owed to us because of that. Brother Milton is trying to hit it, political perspective and activism perspective, getting people to come together under some kind of umbrella and move that forward. And Brother Rose and his partner are hitting it from spirituality and religion. And as Brother New says in the video, and I keep referencing him, I want all of you all to listen to that video at least twice, please, I'm begging you, and then talk about it with other people. Because we have to get beyond rhetoric and talk and what looks good and what's fashionable and what's trending and to put these actions into real work.
Yeah.
Say again. I couldn't hear you.
Did you have something you wanted to share?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to say that COINTELPRO is very much alive. It's still going. It has not stopped. Speaking on the organization in which gave birth to me, the United Simba, during the times where back in the 60s when Maulana Karanga and Emiri Baraka was doing their thing, COINTELPRO was thrown into the organization. Then they had agency in there back then, causing all types of disruption between United Simba and the Black Panthers. And it's so much stuff happened, so many lies have been told, nobody really knows what really happened, because man, when they got up in there, they really messed some stuff up. And I'm still feeling a little bit of that pain in the organization today from all of that went on. So I just wanna say COINTELPRO is very much alive. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's real.
Oh yeah.
Brother Milton, I'm sorry, Paul, just give me a quick second. Brother Milton, you always been in St. Louis?
Yes, yes, I have.
One of my originators of the St. Louis Black Panther Party from that era. His name is Leon Dent. He's a cousin of mine on my mother's side of the family. So I really appreciate what you just said. I can feel that at a personal level. I know some of what you're saying and some of what you're not saying about what went on and those continuing facts. So I really do appreciate that. Go ahead, Paul.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I think that when you compare who's disseminating all this information to the public, when you have historians, when you have all of those, like they did with Brother Malcolm, they continuously rewrite the script. It's time for us to take back what they've been rewriting. It's just like McGraw-Hill out of Texas. It does all of the school textbooks. So what they've been doing is rewriting history, removing everything out of history, and rewriting history in such a way that people don't have a clue what's true or what's not true. And so like with the Black Panthers, when in 1973, when Coretta Scott King and Sil Morgan Smith and all of those folks came down to Denver, Colorado at Whittier Elementary School for the first day of school breakfast. And I remember that back then the propaganda was that this was a militarized group, but in fact the group was in fact just some people who was trying to care and make sure that Black folks' kids could get into school and have an education and eat properly and do other things. And so again, we have a lot of folks who have painted us in a bad light, and yet. We see these kids out in the streets jumping on cars, doing whatever they're doing, and we keep on saying, well, why are they doing what they're doing? But yet I keep seeing that there's nobody really telling them why they're so upset. It's really because of the misinformation that we've been fed.
Yes, yes, yes.
And where is the real leadership? You know, we're seeing all these leaders. You know, and I don't want to call anybody out specifically, but we see all these leaders in social media. But as I said earlier in the show, where are the following? Where is the community with them? Where are the posting of the activities that really affect us at the grassroots level, what I call result-oriented work? Where is that? Did I interrupt someone?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, I thought someone was getting ready to speak. I'm glad all of you did stay online with me. We're 45 minutes into the show, so maybe they're going to give us my full show. It's just going to be archived. I do really appreciate you all sharing the show when we do end, reposting it so that people do hear the material who may not have been able to listen to it live. We must begin to move beyond our block. And I mean that literally and figuratively. It's got to start at the individual level. Now, one of the good benefits of the internet is the promotion of self, if we apply that in a healthy way. There's abundance of information, holistic, healing, spiritual, religious, economic, personal. Many of us are doing research online, whatever our areas of expertise are. I also wanted to give credit to Brother Rose and his partner, Ianifa, for their work in literary pursuit. Paul, we are working on books, anthologies, documenting our own story, documenting our own truth, and getting that out there. And that is available. It's widely available because of the internet. Lulu, for instance, is one of those websites where you can write your book and produce it, sell it, publish it, all on that one site and sell it one piece at a time or even order large volumes of your book at one time to sell, market, or promote in other ways. I strongly suggest getting in contact with Brother Rose if they have literary pursuits, particularly those that are of a spiritual or cultural make. But beyond just becoming better scholars, better educated about what we talk about, what we prophetize, what we support, but we've got to motivate each other and our community to actually put these things into action. You know, we see the Orisha post or the African spirituality post, but I'm asking people straight out now, do you have an altar? Do you have a sacred place in your house for your ancestors? Do you have a shrine? Particularly when they come to me with a problem, an issue, a block, a complication, because that's what I would do. That's a part of my result-oriented, and many of those who are online with, who are on phone with me right now are also doing that and can speak to and attest to the power of the involvement in, of the Orishas and all of our pursuits. Paul is in direct contact with ancestors and doing his work. And we look at his work as something that's legalistic, policy-based, document-based. But those spirits, those ghosts, those ancestors are talking directly to Paul, are giving him information about stuff he shouldn't even know. He shouldn't even have access to. And then he's finding documents to back it up, to prove it. So the fact that we have been communing with ancestors since pre-colonization, since pre-enslavement, since pre, all the way back to Egypt, Kemet, and beyond, we've been honoring and keeping our ancestral spirits alive. So now science proves that ancestral memory is carried in your DNA. So your dreams of home, as Ziggy Marley put it in the song, are really legitimate, are really real, that call to return to the source, to return to the root, to return to the ancestors is real. And they don't want just lip service. They don't want just memes. They want real activity, real action, real demonstration, real motivation to maintain that connection, but also ensure that that connection is carried forward in the generations that follow us. As Paul said, you know, they're jumping on cars and rioting in the streets. And we've done this before. Rioting ain't new. Protesting ain't new. We have a game board, if you would. We have a script, a map of how to do this properly, how to do this effectively, how to do this in a way that net results, lasting results. But there's a spirit right now that's a free-for-all, that's reality TV, and Jerry Springer, you know, and that's why Donald Trump is mixed up in our politics right now, because of that element. He is entertaining, you know, I'm not going to lie, he's very entertaining. I don't like him, I don't support him, you know, he's a white supremacist, but he's hella entertaining. You know, I watch the debate, you know, and go and watch the next one. You know, I ain't done that normally, you know, in my lifetime. And so we have to consider the two-edged sword that social media is, that the internet is. And that now ties us to TV, newspapers. You know, we can tweet directly at them now. We can communicate directly with these people now. That's never been done before. So we have to use these tools to our advantage, in our best perspective, in a way that's most beneficial to us. And we have to stop being emotional in our response. Bob Manu talks about an emotional response to oppression and an emotional response to victimhood, and that being at play when someone can post something with a black edge to it, and we sort of instinctively click like to it, but really don't pay attention to what's being said.
Right.
That's right, it's a trick. What's being promoted. You know, one of those memes is where they use a celebrity face and then put these quotes on them that often the celebrity never said. And they're using that celebrity as an actor's ability to emote a feeling, a look, you know, an attitude. So we use Medea's face. We use Oprah's face. I'm going to post one in a minute with Oprah on it. You know, we use Donald Trump's face. But often we don't pay attention to the words. He called it, I call it, and my dad used to call it Mickey Mouse psychology. But he calls it, what did he call it? It's a really long video, and that's why people aren't clicking on it. It's a really long video. He said a lot.
I've seen it yesterday.
Yeah, but he called it slick knowledge. That's what he called it, slick knowledge. Some people might even call it street knowledge. An example of that is, if it don't make money, it don't make sense. All of those little quick things that we say in the community, in the hood, that really makes sense to us at the street level. But if you really sit down and really begin to analyze some of this stuff, it's just don't make any real sense, you know. And my dad used to call that Mickey Mouse psychology, you know. And pimps, players, the more aggressive players in the community know how to use those euphemisms, those phraseologies, that energy to promote their agenda. And we see that at the conscious level, the Black conscious level, with some of these leaders. You know, and they posting pictures, you know, with their shirt off and trying to look juicy, you know, to the women, and then say something that's slick or popularized. We have whole blog, whole radio talk shows now that are supposed to be about religion and spirituality. They're supposed to be about Palo, Ifa, Voodoo, Santeria. And they never talk about that. They talk about everything but that. They talk about everything that's popularized, everything that's common, everything that's debate, everything that's revenge-oriented or sensationalized or anger-based, but you're not getting no real truth. I would hope Brother Rose can back me on that, because he's been studying with me for a while. And most people who study with me say I expose them to things they've never seen before. And that should be coming out to a so-called initiated person. So we are not doing the homework that we often say. You guys are, because I know that personally. But many people who are even listening to me right now, it's just a listen. It's just an entertainment. And you're going to go right back to your regular routine. And that's what we're trying to put a stop in. That's what we're trying to put a halt to. And then move this work, this conversation forward. Does someone want to speak?
I was just agreeing with you, Baba. I can say through initiating with you, you know, some of the things that you taught me, definitely with the ancestors, and, you know, you bring things full circle, and it's so in depth, you know, that some of the things that, you know, I take a bit, I'd be like, man, you know, this stuff wasn't, you know, ready to be available for me at other places, but you bring it full circle. And I really appreciate that. I really do.
Wow.
Right.
And I appreciate you saying that. I really do. It's more than me. This has to live beyond me. This has to live after me. And it has to be real. As someone who lives in New Orleans, my worst night terror is the day that you can only find commercial voodoo. The day that it's only going to be on the tour. It's only going to be in the movies. And it's not going to be real. It's not going to be true. It's not going to be authentic.
Please say no.
That never happens. But it is up to us. It's up to, the three of us.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Go ahead.
That was exactly what me and Ian was talking about. It was like, it was a big shocker. Like, I guess we both had that dream or whatnot. And it was like, all we started seeing, like, you know, E5 voodoo, and it wasn't about us no more. It was all Hollywood. It was all commercial, and it was like the authentic culture behind it was gone. Everything was gone. It was like, oh my God, what happened? And it was like real shocking. So it was like, how do we preserve ours? You know, I'm fighting hard to restore and preserve the cultures, the spirituality, to elevate this. And she was seeing it too, and it was like both bringing us tears. And that's when she was like, hold on, the ancestors came, and they was like, you know, Yanni came and said that it's time for y'all to write the book, and it's for the book. And right now she's downstairs doing an Egun class. But yeah, it's that serious. Like I fear that day as well, Baba, for we to look up, and all it is Hollywood and commercial people for, you know, profit, you know.
And it's also happening with the revolutionary movement. Hear me.
Yes, sir.
It is
yes,
happening
it is.
With the revolutionary movement. You're seeing a lot of CNN, you know, sound bites and pictures and protesters doing this, that, and the other. And a lot of that is for ratings. It is for TV. It's for entertainment. But where is the committees? Where is the result-oriented checklist? What was the plan? What was the agenda? What is the result? And where is that? You know, often, as we said earlier in the show, that is being done at the grassroots level, and it's not being televised. Where are the attorneys who got those people out of jail? Where are the communities that came up with money to bail out our leaders when they get arrested during these events? Now I saw that firsthand here in New Orleans when they gathered in Jackson Square about a month ago to tear down Robert E. Lee and that statue. Not Robert E. Lee, Andrew Jackson in Jackson Square. And the police were there, and the brother got arrested. There was a committee in place to cover that, to make sure he didn't spend more than 3 hours in jail, to make sure his family was going to be secure. And we saw this at work in the 60s and the 70s. If you weren't alive then, you don't know it. If your parents didn't talk about that, you don't know it. And COINTEL, their role was to break that down, discredit that, have you think that nothing happened from that, that it was just all sound bites, pictures, TV, and that it's dead. We squashed that. No, we didn't squash it. And that movement has raised its head now, again, thanks in part to social media. But it's also being hijacked through social media by people who want to ride the popularity of, the look of, the flavor of, but we are not checking them on the work, on the details,
yeah,
on how real, how committed they are to what they say is true, to what they look like might be true. We're not questioning that in any depth. We're not getting to know these people at a real personal level. I got people on social media that have been following me since Yahoo 360 days, who I've never talked to on the phone, never met in person, never sent me a private chat that led to real conversation. So I don't know the realness of those people, you know, and they just there. But then there are others who call, who reach out, who find their way to New Orleans, who've actually met me, know what
yes,
I'm
sir.
Real about, know how real or not real what I say is. Even come here on the rumors. There's people that hear rumors and they want to come and find out what the rumors are. And they find out how untrue the rumors are, or how limited the rumors are. So, you know, I am not fearful, never have been, of confrontation. You know,
I just
don't want to free
for the day.
For the days, you know, sometimes they're here on vacation, sometimes they're here on the convention. You have others. Like Ia and Brother Rose.
And then what are they doing? Is this thing closed?
Say that again. Say that again. Hello?
I think his phone was going out.
I got my puppy in the car.
Yeah.
And I just leave the car
running
while I run in. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I thought you were making a comment.
Because I can't leave here, often, you know what I mean?
Yeah, often it's just to stir the pot.
Too far down.
In terms of why. But then you have others who are really looking. Then you have others who are really looking for real connection to people who are actually doing the work, who are actually getting involved, who are actually participating, and they want to know. They want to clarify before they invest time, money, energy in people. So I invite the investigation. I invite the looking into. I encourage the looking into, because often you'll find that, you know, again, in social media, many of these faces are just posting. And it's not a part of what they do every day. It's not real for them. It's just a conversation.
Right.
There are people who get paid to do that. You know, the talking heads on TV. You know, we don't know what their real beliefs are, what their real opinion is. They're getting paid to creatively not share their real opinions. You're watching Good Morning America and Robin. And Michael, do you really think they're saying exactly what they really think, what they really believe? As two black people on TV, they're reading from a script. And what makes them experts in their job is they can smile, they can laugh, they can show sincerity, they can even show sympathy. Robin might cry on you, you know, depending on what the story is. You know, that's part of their job. But we're also getting that now in social media. People that are saying, I'm here for black. I'm here for consciousness. You know, black power, you know, and you don't see nothing that identifies who they are. You know, the mask on the face, you know, there's a reason for that. There's a purpose for that. But there's also manipulation behind that. Let's keep it real, okay? You know, let's be authentic about what's really happening. How many times have you seen me cover my face? And I stand on everything I say, everything I am, everything that I represent, everything I promote. I'm not in hiding. You know, I'm not walking around, you know, in fear, you know, for that. Now there's a level of celebrity. There's a level of prominence that you have to show that level of concern. There's a level of rhetoric that invites contention, negative activity, response, but that can also be motivated through COINTEL. That can also be motivated at the governmental level. That can also be motivated by people with ill intent who don't have the right motivations in play. And so we have to really begin to call these people out. We really have to begin to identify, as we said earlier in the show, who's really with us. And those who say that they're really with us, we need to begin to put action along with those words. I really do need to get a drink of water and hydrate. So I'm going to take a brief intermission. I do invite you gentlemen to stay on with me if that's possible in your schedule. If it's not, I do understand. I still don't know how much of my show I'm going to get. Right now, it's looking like I might get the whole show. But I will be back momentarily.
Yeah.
Hi, Bobo. Give thanks. I'm always truly honored and grateful by those who come and participate and share in the show, but even more so by those of you who stay to the end, who participate in the show, understand the point of why I'm doing this. It makes me emotional. I'm truly honored. I'm grateful for those who are getting the message, applying the message, seeing results from the message, and then moving that forward. I'm glad that we're still on air. So we're going to continue to move forward. Hopefully I'll get my whole show out before they end the show in archive. I want to go back quickly to Baba Nu's video and more towards the more spiritual, esoteric things that he talked about. He hit so many different capsules of information in this video, almost like a book, a really thick book. You have to go back, take notes, re-listen, even do your own research on some of the things that he talks about. That's what Brother Milton does. That's what Brother Rose does. That's what the erudite mind does. That's what the well-studied mind does. They don't take things on face value. And he hits so many different areas that you have to go back and listen, re-listen to get it all, and then even make your own opinion about what's being said. And he talked about not only birthing true scholars, moving beyond just, you know, what's sensational, what's the quick, easy read. I've tested that in the social media. People have a very short attention span. If it's too much reading involved, if they have to click a link and go to the site to look at it, which is why I will often sort of capsulize the meat of the post or the picture or the video in the original post, because some of you all are not going to read it. And I've tested it. Some of you aren't even going to pay attention to the details, to what's really being said. And we do the same thing with TV. We treat the internet in some ways the same way we do with TV, except I think things are moving much faster on the internet. I can often have 40 tabs open at one time when I'm on my computer. I might be listening to a broadcast, reading a document, reposting something. So I have to consciously say, wait a minute, stop, pay attention. And we all do that. And we do it based on who posted it, what the caption is, what the picture looks like. There's certain things that tear jerk us or get that emotional response from us. And then that leads to an action and a reaction. And often the action is actually reading the post and not just looking at it, but reading it and paying attention to what it is. Then there's the reaction that might be the like button. And we might click like. And I've said before, sometimes I click like to acknowledge the post. Not to say that I agree or that I am in like with the post, but sometimes to acknowledge it. It makes it easier for me to realize what I've read or haven't read when I can see my like there. Often if I don't have a like, maybe I haven't had time to look at it. So you can't assume always that because 75 people click like on this show, that the 75 people were going to actually show up here to not only listen, but then participate. And Baba Nu calls that out in this video. We talk about revolution, consciousness, the Black community, supporting Black, buying Black, all this Black. And often that is just trend, fashion, a look, something we say, something that has no real foundation behind that. Black doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. Revolution doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. Red, black, and green don't mean the same thing to everybody. So in social media, we use those tools to sort of find like-minded people. And I'm honestly trying to move away from that, re-adding people of a similar mindset that don't participate, that don't bring anything new to the table, that don't question in a way that's healthy, are beneficial for moving things forward. refusing what Bob New calls multiculturalism, diversity in study. We're not talking about race. We're talking about diversity in study. I'm a Pan-African spiritualist. One of the things that makes me extra, for lack of better words, is that I'm well-versed in several traditions. And you can't make sense out of one thing if you don't study the environment. You can't make sense out of Christianity if you never study the Bible. And that means studying other books outside of the Bible, the Apocrypha, history, chemistry even, archaeology. You need to study many things to make sense of a book, a text. The commercial mind, TV commercial, media, advertisement mind, expects you not to think through, expects you to only pay 30 seconds worth of attention, and they're only going to be, you know, emotionally responsive to what you see. So even they play around with the details. You know, why big letters? Why small letters? Well, why is the most important information often the smallest lettering on the screen in the ad? Because they anticipate you're not showing concern about that. You're most motivated by, does it make me look younger? Does it make me sexier? Does it make me rich? Does it make me happier? Can I continue to eat, drink, and be merry and take this pill and be okay without being sick, without reaping natural organic repercussions for my behavior? And that plays out even at the conscious level. So often the issues of sex, sexuality, racism, colorism are a distraction to the real conversation, to what's really being said, to what's really being promoted. So